You know, I was just thinking I should ask if there's anybody here that might want to have a testimony from yesterday. Yesterday? Yeah. If you just want, if any of the women. I have to say that I was invited to come. The tutu wouldn't fit, so anyway, that's another story. But I hovered around the back there, and in the end, I went into the back room, and it's like not with my tutu. And the thing is that it was like I was praying and thinking about this morning, but I was just so locked into God's presence, and the time when I just lay flat on the floor and just wept, and the presence of God was just so powerful. It was just right through the whole place. And it was just absolutely wonderful. So, and that was in the back room. But when we popped in after the event had finished, and the place was just pumping. It was just, the atmosphere was just, well, we felt the Holy Spirit was telling us it would be like that, but it was just incredible. So, yeah, I'm very proud of you, Anna. It's just, I know that this is very clearly what God put on your heart and something that He showed us at the start of the year, but it was very, very wonderfully powerful. And you know, everybody that left just said, look, we want to come. We just need to do this again. And the boys are saying, hey, what about us? So yes. So we have to watch this space. But I thought it would be really, really nice if one of you two could come on. I saw that hand.
Marty, I just want to say you are such a good dad. And the way you talk about Anna is just such an encouragement to me. I mean, and the way you talk about your wife too. I just think that it's, aren't we so blessed to have this man leading us? Like, what? Anyway, so I won't tell you what my breakthroughs were because it will take too long, but I got a huge breakthrough yesterday that I wasn't expecting, and God just pinpointed the root of something from like 5 years ago and the door that had been opened for something I've struggled with for 5 years. And Anna, I just want to say thank you for opening your heart and being vulnerable and sharing what you did. Because that took so much courage. And I know there were probably people sitting there thinking, oh, girl, that's nothing. I've done worse. Yeah, but for you, that, you know, just, yeah, you struggled with that for so long. And to you, that was a huge deal. So to not minimize it, that was, yeah, wow. It was just, I think that you sharing really opened the door for the breakthroughs that the rest of us got. And I got some answers too to some things that I've been asking God for. So, yeah.
Cool.
This is sorry, Chrissy. This involves you, but and I know you just love the limelight, don't you? You just love it. You're just like, thanks, Rose. Now everyone's looking at me. But I was so broken and wrecked when I saw you with the banner out back. Yeah, because I know that. I just had the word strength and weakness, yeah. And that He inhabits our praises. So to see you with that banner, there was such strength in your praise. Sorry.
So thank you, Rose. Yeah. Marilyn. Is she there? Yeah. It's lovely.
I just want to really honour the three women that were on the worship team. I arrived at one as part of the prayer team, and as soon as I got to the bottom, I thought I could hear them. And I thought, oh, they've put a speaker in the stairwell. How cool. And as I walked up, there was no speaker. But it was amazing. I don't know if it was the tone or the angels carrying your voices out there, but I've never heard anything like it. Sorry, other worship teams. But it was really special. It was so loud and it was so in harmony and just so beautiful. So bless you three women. You were just fantastic. And guys, you were really good too that were backing them.
Okay, we've got time for another one. He was allowed to sneak in, wasn't he?
It's true. On a serious note, when I prayed for it earlier in the day, and I said to Marty, I was really excited because I said to him, as soon as I saw him, I was like, Marty, you've got to get Chrissy along because there's going to be a lot of healing taking place today. And when he said she was coming, I was like, yes, thank you, Lord. But something really amazing happened when we were doing the words. Yesterday, I was doing the words and Sam was doing the sound. And basically, there was a couple of like different songs where it just felt something really big was happening. There's one song that, because worship sounds a lot different when there's no men, and it just literally just sound like there is a chorus of angels singing. And there was one song, I just looked at Sam and I just said, dude, I just had a shiver down my spine. There was something else happening there. And he like fully agreed that it sounded so big, you know, for no male voices, and it just sounded so big. And I just, yeah, it was really, really, you know, big stuff happening yesterday afternoon in that worship set.
Well, thanks, Stu. And that's actually interesting because the Father, I felt the Father saying that he was going to put the angels around us, sentries around the place. Interesting, the sentries, talking about, to protect, but also the angelic hosts. And I could sense at the back there, it was like all over the place. Amazing. So, yeah. He inhabits the praise of his people, doesn't he? And he certainly did. Well, how do I follow up on that? Maybe we'll all go home. Just have communion. We're going to have communion today, actually. And I think it's a lovely time. So Wayne is going to lead us into this later on. And I think it's a lovely time for us as a sense, an indication of us being one bride, one people. And that kind of leads me into Ephesians. Ephesians is my favourite book. I mean, if you look at my Bible, you'll see it's very, very tacky and tatty. I had to bring my old one in. Sorry, guys, the new one. I had to bring the old one in because it's just such a... It's just so multicoloured. Ephesians is my favourite book. Amazing book. And I feel a real privilege to actually share about this morning. You know, the interesting thing is that Ephesians... When Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, I think I said this recently, it was the only book that he, or only letter that he wrote that basically didn't rebuke the church. He was so delighted with what was happening. He was uplifting the church. And that's why I think it's for us today. Isn't that a cool thing? So he wasn't rebuking them. He was encouraging. In actual fact, I think what he was doing, he was really encouraging and enhancing what was happening. He was kind of fine-tuning, saying, guys, this is really neat what you're doing, but if you want more and you want to come up to another level, then do this, this, and this. And a lot of the things that he's talking about are fundamental things. They're all to do with the body, and I'm going to touch on some of those things this morning and hopefully give you some highlights of what I think the chapters are all about, just if I get that far. If I don't, then mine. Do it next week, maybe, if I'm allowed to. So that's what it's like... I was talking to somebody last night at a party that I went to about gold panning. For some reason, you know, I'd like to do some more gold panning down south. We did a little bit once last year, but it's kind of, yeah, there's something magical about that. But what I felt Ephesians was about really is like a book that's it's like gold panning. There's so much gold and so much heavenly sparkles in it that it kind of just stirs me up. It's just like there's so much riches in there. And Suzanne, you're going to experience that when you go on this cruise in a few days' time. This season. You're going to have that. There's going to be sparkles of God's love that are just for you. And you don't have to bring them back and give to the family, by the way. They're just, no, it's not. Because they're for you as his lovely daughter. I just felt the Lord saying that. That those are the sort of sparkles I'm talking about interwoven in this in Ephesians. Got a little hot now. The context in which the letter to the Ephesians is written is the church, the body of Christ. It's not about lone rangers, okay? But a group of caring, supporting, preferring one another, a loving missional community of believers like us. People who didn't have it all together, but who are doing their best with what God had put in their hands. And just to add something here for these Kingdom School of Ministry students, and my apologies, you've heard this before, this some of the stuff because we talked about it this year. So it's a community of love. It's a bit like the hippie movement, which most of you won't remember, but I do. And it was good to see a production that our grandchildren were in last week, and they were going through from the 50s to the, was it 50s? 60s right through, and it's good to see Ben dressed up in some hippie gear. Looked really amazing, with a band around his head. Neat. But that was what the hippie movement was all about. It was all about love. Let's tune in, drop out, and whatever it was. You know what I mean? But in a sense, Ephesians is a bit like that. It's basically saying, just tune in, guys, to my love. Just tune into that and then kind of drop out and let me do it. That's what I feel. It's a message of peace. That's like a huge revolution happened when Jesus came to the earth, and it's still happening. It happened in the 60s with the hippie movement, and I think it's happening right now. I think God is lining people up for a season of change. I believe it's a season of reformation that will impact society on all fronts. This is happening largely because today there is a new breed of believers out there. I really believe this. They may kind of look like us, a little different from each other, but they know their love for Jesus and their faith, and they're wanting more. They just won't settle where they're at. They're actually hungry for more. And I think that we, you know, a great admiration for what's happening in the past, but this is the reformation that God is preparing the church for today. And I think Ephesians is an excellent platform for that. Well, you know, as an engineer who has been involved with multi-story building construction over the years, I relate very, very much to the analogy in the Bible and in the scriptures, in Ephesians especially, about the building. Now, there's all sorts of analogies there when we're talking about the bride of Christ, but I really love the analogy about the building. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. In Ephesians 2:21 to 22, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22 says that. In him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So you're actually the dwelling place for his Holy Spirit. No wonder he tells us to be careful how we live. In there it also talks about us being living stones. I love that. I love the passage of Scripture. So what's the building all about? Well, firstly, a building will have a foundation of some description. And Ephesians 2:20 talks about this. It will be built, our building, or us, the church, is built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, with Jesus as the key cornerstone. When they used to construct these old buildings, they used to have this key cornerstone. If you took the cornerstone out, the building would collapse. I'm talking to a builder down here. It was constructed around that, and modern buildings are not too dissimilar to that. They have a framework and a structure, and if the structure isn't perfectly fitted and neatly fitted together, when we get seismic activity like in Wellington, the thing will collapse. Now, for years, I worked for the design engineer. In those days, it was all by slide rule, who designed a lot of the buildings in the region, the harbour, what do you call it, the city centre, the government centre. And those buildings were constructed on this big, big solid foundation, big, big blocks. And I felt very, very comfortable in those buildings and in earthquakes, 14-storey buildings. And when you had an earthquake, the place would shake, but you knew it was sound. Parliament, the beehive has been constructed like that as well. Very, very sound construction. And I'm sure that even with the activity we've had recently, nothing's going to cause those things to shake. So it's like the church. The church is built on the foundation, as I mentioned, of the prophets and the apostles. I believe the apostles are still around, by the way, but we're referring back to the early church. So when things do shake, and they do shake, then it's not going to fall down if we're all neatly knitted together. Okay? But there's different sorts of cladding. Steel, wood, bricks, stone. And Paul's reference in the scriptures here talked about what was happening in his time, and the buildings that were constructed in those days were made of stone. But again, coming back to the cornerstone, they had to be fitted and sealed together. Otherwise, if there was any activity shaking, the thing would move. And people knew that through the storms, because there's always going to be storms, and buildings move in storms. So it's bound together by these living stones. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a video clip, which some of you have seen before. It's 2.5 minutes. But it shows a building being constructed 15 days, 30 stories. I think there's some sound with it. I'm not sure. I think there's some. But anyway, don't need sound. That's the foundation. That's how we should be building in New Zealand. That's the centre core, which will actually take the elevators. Pretty cool, eh? That's the testing on the left-hand side. Pretty cool, eh? Isn't that awesome? No, we won't do it again. Yeah, okay. But isn't that amazing? It's see, so the thing is, guys, if you leave some components out of that, if you leave some of the steelwork out of it, when the storms come, you're getting the message. It's going to collapse. And I think that's a really good analogy of the church. Can I get you just to throw that picture of up on the screen? I just want to quickly cover this. I'm not going to get through this today. Can I? Okay, thank you. Can we just put this? Now, this here was a vision God gave me many years ago, and I didn't know anything about it. Some of you have heard this before. It's to do with Revelation 22, and talks about the throne of God. We had a word about that this morning, but talks about the throne of God and the glory, the river coming from the throne and coming down the stream, which are the streets, and also the trees on the bank of the river. Okay, the thing I want to talk about, and I was actually standing here in the vision, probably the first vision I ever had. I was actually standing here, and I could see the shadow of a man in the distance. I believe it was Jesus standing there. I did not know anything about Revelation 22 or Ezekiel. I didn't really know that. Somebody told me about this later on. That's what I actually saw. But the trees were just absolutely stunning, beautiful, and I could see this, what appeared to be liquid gold, coming down from the tree, the tree of life, coming down and touch and actually filling, if you like. It was. I can't explain it. It was literally glancing off the water. It was so pure. I've never seen water like it. It was so pure. The gold coming off the trees was literally bounce off the leaves was actually literally bouncing off the water, gold bouncing, and sinking down. And it was actually fitting around these stones. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole picture, but what I wanted to talk about a little bit was about these stones, because I felt this is what the Lord was saying to us, that these stones represent us. And they were beautiful, smooth stones that had been neatly fitted together, like they were, it's like they were being rubbed together, just like that. And that's like the church. We rub against each other. Often what's happening is, somebody referred to this recently, at a conference I was at, what happens, Bill Johnson actually, he said often what happens is we get rubbing together, but people then hike off to another church because don't like the rubbing, you see. We don't like this, so off we go. Unfortunately, when that happens, they're going to have to go through the same rubbing process. God has this beautiful plan of having this body, getting the picture, this body that needs to fit together. And when you go somewhere else, nobody can fill that place. You are unique. You're beautifully made. You're unique. You're wonderful. You go and you leave a gap. I can't fill it. Nobody else can fill it. So that's the process I felt the Lord was showing me. And this liquid gold was coming down. I said, Lord, what's the agent? What's holding those stones together? And this beautiful water coming, which is of course the Holy Spirit coming and flowing over us. What's actually going on? He said, that's my Spirit holding things together. My Holy Spirit is the bonding agent. And the agent is His love. And we know all about love as patient, love as barber. You know, that's a good measuring stick to know where you're fitting. How am I getting on this week? Well, am I patient? Am I that? You know, so you can go through those good little barometer. Good for me, because it's easy to think that we can just carry on. We can't. We're in people in process. That's what's happening. So I could talk more about that. Building characteristics. The early church, it talks about this in Acts 2:42-43, and we had some reference on this recently. What they did is they gathered around the apostles who were giving them teaching. This was a sign of a body, a functioning church, teaching, fellowship, breaking bread together, prayer. They met together in their temples, in the temple. They met together in homes. They praised God and they worshiped. These are all fundamental characteristics or values of the church. They enjoyed, this is the thing that really gets me, it's beautiful. They enjoyed the favor of the people. I wonder why they enjoyed the favor of the people. I think it's because the people could see the love they had for one another. See, what happens in the church is going to be a mirror of what's going to happen out there. And if people are people should be able to look at the church. They should be able to, Paul talks about, we should be able to look at the church and say, you know what, that's what I want to be part of. We should be. So that's what I think they recognized in that time. They recognized that beautifully. And I think, well, I was going to say 21st century application. Well, we just talked about that really. So in Ephesians, I'm just going to read a little bit of Ephesians, I think. That's what I'll do. It talks about the building as a loving, missional community. And that was really, it's been really wonderful this year for us to be able to be praying for the different nations, what we're doing, praying for Rosemary and Graham, because we're thinking right outside the square. And incidentally, with Rosemary and Graham, one of the ladies, I'm looking over here because she used to sit here, when she was visiting Seoul, Claire is actually from this church. She's the New Zealand ambassador in Seoul, and next year she's going to become the ambassador in China. Actually, she's going up to Beijing next year. So she's well sought after. So she's a Christian lady, lovely, hospitable person. And Rosemary and Graham have been having that time this week, being driven around in an ambassador's car with a flag on and all that sort of thing. Yeah, so that was lovely. So they are representing. I mean, that not a big church, but here we have somebody in a very, very prominent position. And I love that. I love that. I just love that. And we're going to see more of that. I really believe that. So our mission is primarily the mission of Jesus. People say, well, what's the mission of the church? Well, it's actually in Matthew 28:18-19. We are meant to go out. That's what I mean. We come here to be encouraged and built up and loving on one another. That's all part of the role that we've got to encourage and build you guys up. But the big thing, it's got to be out there. It's got to be as a writer. It's got to be as a scientist. It's got to be, it's got to be out there as teachers, as students. It's got to be there, because that's where the kingdom is going to be seen, through you and through me. If it's in here, forget it. So the thing that energizes me, and I tell the students this every week at the School of Ministry, is seeing these guys, I'm looking at you guys in the back, and the other students, I'm seeing these guys encouraged and built up so that they can carry the presence of God into their workplaces and they can bring about transformation. Because I truly believe, I keep saying this, I truly believe that when we carry his presence into the workplace, atmospheres change. And I've proved that in my own walk. And the other thing too is this favor. We're meant to function fully as a fully integrated kingdom community, a fully integrated kingdom community. And that is, as Paul said, preferring one another. Preferring one another. I'm a guy. I'm still trying to see things in advance. Like Chrissy loves presents, but you know, I need to be more sensitive in as a guy. You know, to bring gifts home, to give gifts away. But I'm saying I can't make the fact that I'm a guy as an excuse. So God's still working on me. Hear what I'm saying? Because I can be very fixed on a project and go for that project and forget that in order to achieve that, there are actually people here as well that need to be looked after and blessed. I've heard this before where people will say, oh, well, he's a muso. He can throw these little tantrums and he can be like this or she because they're musos. That's rubbish. To me, that's absolute nonsense. And we can hide behind it. Oh, she's very artistic, so she can be fly off the handle. That's nonsense. We've got to rub together, guys, and deal with our stuff and move on and face up the fact. There's no excuse for that. I think we've got to learn to grow up. As Wimber used to say, learn to grow up before we get old. I meet people in their 40s, 50s, 60s and 70s who've never grown up. They've known Jesus for years. I think, guys, get over it. Grow up. Learn to grow up, but we do that together in a loving community, preferring one another. And the other thing too that I'm going to just reiterate again is the fact that the early church had favor. It had favor in the community. So we have favor in the community. Capital Vineyard, not a big church, but it has favor in the community. Claire being in the position where she is overseas and doesn't have to be overseas, I believe she has God's favour and God's presence. Rosemary and Graham are ambassadors right now. Favour is on their lives. The same thing happens here in Wellington in your jobs. You have favour. You have favour. Whether you're an architect, an accountant, an engineer, a true teacher, you have favour on you. You may not see it. I can look back on my life and say, how come I was actually offered three jobs instead of just one? And my boss said to me once, he said, the director of the division said, in fact, the whole nation actually for in those days, he said, you're very popular. I said, oh, am I? He said, well, you've been offered not one job but three. Which one do you want? He said, this is the one I suggest you take. But what I'm saying is I didn't know that then. So I can stand before you and say that, but you guys need to know that now. There's favour on your life. Your life's been marked out. And the book of Ephesians is endeavouring to enhance that. Absolutely. So there's favour on you. Yeah, I just had a little note down here. I think I said this to the students. I wonder what would happen in our church communities if we took the approach, what can I give, how can I serve, rather than what can it give me and what can I give out of it? What can I get out of it? That's just a little snippet there. I was looking for something else and I can't find it, so I won't worry about that. I'm going to read just a couple of passages from Ephesians and then I think we're going to leave the rest till next week. Next week I'll do an overview. I love this book, as I said before. To the saints in Capital Vineyard, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from our God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read that again. To the saints of Capital Vineyard, that's all of you guys, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's for you guys. I couldn't say it any more beautifully because you're beautiful people. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms. And that's what I sensed was happening yesterday. I could see it. In the heavenly realms, with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. You are holy and blameless. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been. You are holy and blameless in God's sight already. If you become a follower of Jesus. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and his daughters. Isn't that beautiful? Through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the pleasure, with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious peace. Isn't that awesome? To the praise of his glorious peace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Because that's Jesus. It's powerful, man. In him we have redemption through his blood, and we'll be taking the bread and the wine in a minute. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavishes on us with all wisdom and understanding. I'm praying for that every day. Lord, would you please increase my understanding of you, and I want your wisdom to know you more, and I want you to know me. I want you to know me, and I want to know you. And to be made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment. We're not there yet. To bring all things in heaven, hear this, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. So that's what we're designed for his praise and his glory. Let's pray. Father, your word is powerful. And we've only just begun to take a little glimpse at what this wonderful book of Ephesians is all about. But Father, I felt you tell me this morning that through the word this morning, you are going to set people free. And I believe, Father, the word is doing that this morning. So we thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Before we take the bread and the wine, just with our eyes closed, can I just pray something over you? Because I felt the Lord was saying to me this morning that he was going to break mindsets which are wrong. It's like I could see a computer program. I've done a little bit of programming years ago, a program called Sifter. You won't even know what that means, sifting things out. Had a lot of symbols and things on it. But if there was something missing in that program, it wouldn't work properly. It would work, but it didn't function properly. And that's the picture that I had. I felt the Lord was going to break some little things in the programs of our mind that are worldview things, past experience things, in order for him to put into place the right program, which is his truth and his grace. Truth and grace, that's what I felt him saying this morning. And so, Father, I just pray that if that's you, that you can receive this prayer. I just pray that over all of us here today, Lord, that you would, in the name of Jesus, break any wrong programming in our minds, any world concepts that are incorrect, that mar the love that you have for us and being able to receive that love for us. and also, Father, being able to that would mar or scourge the grace that you've poured out upon us, that we'd be people of grace, that the banner of love would fly over us as individuals. So this morning, Father, I speak boldly to this thing and I say in the name of Jesus, we break its hold. And we set your people free on a path of truth and grace, of righteousness, of holiness and wholeness. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Well, okay, I'll get Wayne, would you like to come up?
Good morning. Even my older age, I'm learning new things every day. And a couple of days ago, I learned something new and something pretty amazing. There's one food substance in the world that never decays. You know, you can leave it in the open or whatever, but it never, ever decays. Does anyone know what that food substance is? You're right. I didn't know that. And I was reflecting on Exodus and the Israelites were getting hungry and they asked for food and the Lord rained down manna from heaven and it tasted like honey because it was sustainer. And so as we break this bread, we just thank the Lord that this is the bread of life and it's our sustainer. And even though the manna deteriorated every night, you know, the Lord said that he was going to provide sufficiency every morning. And with this bread, it provides sufficiency every morning. So we just break this bread, knowing, Lord, that you are the sustainer of life. Wow. I did wash my hands. Now we just look at the wine, and we know the wine cleanses our sin. And just, you know, takes away any shame or guilt. But I got a word this morning that as we drink this wine, it's going to blow through the caverns of our soul and pour on us to overflow. So as you drink this wine this morning, it's going to pour on you to overflow. Isn't that brilliant? Amen. Okay.
So please come on up. What I'd like to do this morning is something a little different. As a symbolic gesture, I'd like us to drink the wine and or take the bread, drink the wine together. So if you just hold on to them, we'll just do that together. I think it's a sign of us. It's one of the few things that we can do together apart from our worship when we're singing the same songs together. So, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. we'll also leave the emblems up here, so if the teachers or those out the back want to come and have some communion, they can. So, wow. So let's drink together in Jesus' name. Oh, sorry, eat. I got that wrong, didn't I? You see, that's the beauty about the body. Thank you. Sorry. So without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sin. Father, we drink this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Together, thank you. Father, it seems such a simple act, and yet what you did was incredible. Father, I just pray over every man, woman, and child here today. I just pray your blessing over everybody, that you would bless them indeed, everyone here, Father, that we would be who you want us to be, where you've placed us, in our homes, with our families, in our jobs, in the communities, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, people. Please help yourself to teas and coffees, and don't rush out the door.